Amen. I love you. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. We have a special guest here tonight that I'm proud to see, Jerry Heady. Jerry and I go back, 50 years? Yeah, longer than that, long time. We used to work together years ago. And brother, I'm glad you're here. And make yourself, Bryson brought him. And, that's good. That's a good thing. The Word of God is so powerful. I've talked to a lot of parents. Listen to me. I've talked to a lot of parents, and parents are concerned about their children. I've had people ask me, Brother Roger, where are we going to be in 20 years if the Lord tarries? How are my children going to turn out? You know, this message is for parents, but it's also for us grandparents. You know, because we have a lot to do with our children's life. Every one of us wants our children to turn out good, turn out living for the Lord. And the great thing about it, you and I can do something about it. We can teach them. We can be good examples for them. And the thing about it, you don't have to be a parent to care about children. There's a lot of people, a lot of women and men as well that they're not parents themselves, but they care about our children. And they're blessings to us in our church. They watch over our children. They care about our children. They pray for our children. But I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs. One verse we're going to look at is very well known. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, that verse is very well known. To when you hear it, you'll say, you know, I've heard that before. The book of Proverbs, the entire book of Proverbs is about wisdom, not just knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom. Wisdom is having knowledge and knowing what to do with it. And there's a lot of people that have, PhDs and all types of degrees, and they have the knowledge, but they don't have the real wisdom that we need to use that knowledge in the right way. Well, the book of Proverbs is about knowledge, and it's about wisdom. And it's taking knowledge, learning how to use it in a wise way. The key verse, now listen to me, the key verse in the entire book of Proverbs is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. That's the key verse. If you don't get this verse, you'll miss out. You'll miss out on this message. You'll miss out on life. You'll just live life and just drift through or just waddle through or whatever. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, I want us to look at that first. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now that's the key verse. You ought to write that down. If you miss that one verse, you miss the entire book of Proverbs. You'll miss out on life. Look at it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I had a lady tell me the other day, you shouldn't call people a fool. You shouldn't do that. I said, well, Jesus did. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. One half of a verse that God deals with the atheist. One half. He says, you're a fool if you don't believe in me. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And the Bible is clear. The fear. Do you fear God? Do you have a holy reverence for God? You know, a lot of people don't nowadays. There's a lot of people, they don't have the fear of God, the reverence or the respect of God. And because of that, look at this. Look what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, people today will not, a lot of people won't accept instruction from the Word of God. That's why I'm here. I'm your pastor to instruct you. I can't force you. I don't make you. All I can do is to lead you. I'm not the shepherd of this church. I'm the under-shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. But I am your pastor. God called me to pastor you and to instruct you. And tonight, I want us to look at that. Tonight, we're going to look at something. The Bible says how to train a child. How do you train your child? I've had people, grandparents, people that's getting ready to have babies, and people that have little ones, little toddlers, and they've asked me, Brother Roger, what's going to happen to my children? How are they going to turn out when they get 20? How will they be? What kind of character will they have in their life when they get older? A lot of Christian people, not all Christians, but a lot of Christian people are concerned about what's going on in this evil world and how it's affecting our children's future. I'm one that cares. And I know you as parents, you're here tonight, and grandparents, you care. But look what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. You can be seated. There's a lot of people that are afraid, that are fearful. A lot of people have told me, and I repeat it, but because a lot of people are afraid, you know, my children, is it okay to have a baby now? I've had people tell me, well, I don't want to have a baby because I'm afraid of what the world is turning into. I'm afraid that my little children, it's so evil. Listen, I don't want you to be afraid. But I do want you to know God expects you to instruct them. Yeah. You want them to turn out good in 20 years? It's up to you. It's up to you. You got to take your responsibility. If you have babies, you got to raise them. Amen? And part of that raising is their spiritual training. A lot of people nowadays, I'm telling you, they don't care. They don't care about their spiritual life. They're not really concerned about how their kids are going to turn out in life in the spiritual sense. You know what I'm talking about? They care about their education. They care about their sports. They care about everything else. But the main thing is how our children are going to turn out when they're 20 years old. Train up a child. Listen to me. There's a few things that I wrote down I want you to get. I wrote them down because I didn't want to leave anything out. Listen to me. Don't feel sorry for your children. Some people say, well, you know, I feel sorry for my children. The way this world's going, listen to me. Don't you feel sorry for your children. Don't be afraid for your children. Because the world is different now. It's different than what we grew up in. It's different. But listen to me. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you, listen, I don't want you to be sorry, because what I'm going to preach to you tonight is something that will encourage you if you have children, if you're going to have children, if you have grandchildren. There's something you can do to help them more than just teach them to be a good third baseman. Amen. Listen to me. God created them all. God created them and called them for this exact moment in time. Don't be sorry for them. Well, I'm sorry. I'm having chit. No. Oh, I'm afraid. No, listen to me. God isn't in heaven in a corner somewhere scratching his head thinking, well, what am I going to do now? God, listen, God is sovereign. He is in full control. Listen to me. God created them and called them for this exact moment. Your children are not mistakes. Your children are not a coincidence. Your children are not an accident. God knew exactly what he was doing. For this moment that we're living in, God knew exactly what he was doing when it come to our children, when it come to our church, when it come to our grandchildren. Now listen. Number one, raise them up to know the power of God and also lead them to Jesus. Raise them up. Listen, don't be afraid. Don't be sorry for them. Raise them up to know the power of Almighty God and to live as children of God. Number two, train them up in the authority of God's Word. You've got to train them up and let them know that God's Word is supreme and God's Word has authority over our life. You got to teach them that. You got to train them up in the authority of God's Word over their life. If you miss that as a child, you could miss it the rest of your life. There's a lot of people, listen, that miss that one little statement in their life. And they don't realize that the Word of God has authority over their life. If you want to make a difference, train them up in the authority of God's Word over their life. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Don't teach them fear. Don't you be sorry for them. Don't you have fear. Don't you be afraid. I want you to train them up with the authority of God's Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Amen? Teach them to walk in faith. You got to teach them that. Empower them to know they can change the world through Christ. Don't teach them to be afraid, to fear what's going on in this evil world. Teach them, listen, empower them to know they can change the world through Christ. Hey, that'd be great for some of us adults to know. Yes. To be reminded of. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the conditions of the world. What you say, they will listen to. And you can dishearten them by what you say. Don't do that. Teach them to be hopeful. Through Jesus, they can do something about it. Don't teach them to be fearful. and disheartened by the conditions of the world. Teach them to be hopeful. Through Jesus, they can do something about this world. Listen to me. Every person in all history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereignty. Every person, I don't care who, every person has been placed in time at the right time because of God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. I read this. I really like this. It says, I will sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey him. I will sing because God ordained the sun to rule the day. He ordained the moon to shine. And all the stars in the universe obeys him. You know why we call it universe? It comes from the word unity. It means together. Listen, God has everything together. Everything is in unity with God. Why? Because he is sovereign. The stars obey his voice. The moon obeys his voice. The sun obeys his voice. Wouldn't that be great for people to do? Teach them to be hopeful through Jesus that they can do something about what's taking place. Teach them to be hopeful through Jesus Christ. Every person, listen, I want you to get this. Every person in history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. Listen to me. God knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. Amen. You think, well, God was scratching his head and thinking, well, there's Daniel. I don't know if he can handle that lion's den or not. Daniel was there for that time and purpose. God knew David could handle Goliath. God knew Esther could handle Haman. God knew Peter could handle persecution. And he knows that your child, listen to me, he knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. God knows. He knows that your child can handle it, but the Bible says for you to train them up. And that's not easy. That's difficult. I wish I'd have knew this when I was a young dad. Made a lot of mistakes as a young dad. Some people think, well, you have grandchildren because you messed up so bad on your children that God allows you to have grandchildren so you can make it up. I believe there's some truth in that. Amen? But the thing about it is, God knows. He's sovereign. He knows. No accidents. No luck. No mistakes. God knows exactly what he's doing. I love this statement. It's got to be God because I'm not that smart. Listen to this. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you as a parent to raise your children in the most controversial time in our life. God chose you to be a parent. God chose you to be a grandparent. That's not accident. That's not luck. That's the sovereign working of God. Be honored. That's what I want to tell people. Sometimes I just want to get them, shake them, say, listen, I'm so afraid. I'm afraid for my little baby. I'm afraid for my children. And I understand what they're saying. Don't get me wrong. But I want to say, look, we serve an awesome God. God knows. God knows when those babies are going to be born. It's an honor to be a parent in the most dangerous times that this world, listen, especially in our lifetime, we've never seen it like this. Listen to me, don't worry about your children. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. And it's going to take some work. You'll get tired. You'll get lazy. You'll put it off if you're not careful. But you cannot, because you want your children to turn out well in 20 years. Listen to me. I wrote this down too. Raise up some Daniels. Church. Raise up some Daniels. Raise up some Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Raise up some people. We can do it. The Bible says, train up your child in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not depart. There's a lot of prayers been prayed that are being answered actually from heaven. I believe there's parents and grandparents in heaven seeing their prayers answered on earth through their grandchildren and through their children. Amen? You think just because you die, your prayers that you prayed for 20 years just ceased to exist? No. No, they're there. Raise up some Daniels, some Davids, some Esthers, some Peters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some Lydias, some Marys and Marthas. The church is responsible. We can do that. Families are responsible. You can do that. You want them to turn out well. Listen to this. I believe God has an army He's raising up to drive back the darkness and to make Him known. To make Jesus known around the world. Be honored that you have children that you can raise up as the soldiers of Christ, the army of God, to push back the darkness and to make Jesus known around the world. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. You know, we as a church, we got to make Jesus known. Now, this old world knows about all the bad that happens in the church. This old world knows the troublemakers. This old world knows the gossipers. This old world, listen, knows about you. They know about you. It's time to let them know Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. They know, listen, this world, you know why a lot of people don't want to come to church? Because we've mistreated them. Some of you are guilty. They don't want to come. You know why? Because they've told me so. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I've visited, listen, people for 40 years. knocked on doors, invested my life and my time, and they come to the door. I'm not coming to your church. Oh, so-and-so owes me money. He's owed me money for 20 years. Amen. I'm not coming to your church. I'm not going because they go to, down to the Eagles. They're members of the church, but they go sit on a bar stool and drink beer. And they call themselves a Christian. That ain't Christianity. Or they go to the Legion and sit there, call themselves a Christian, walk in, say they're self a Christian, drink, walk out, saying they're self, that they're saved, that they're a Christian. I won't tell you what's happening. They're on their way to hell. Calling himself a Christian. A Christian. I still ain't got that message out why Debbie and I don't drink yet. I'm working on it. It's a bad witness. Nobody that's ever, I guarantee you, in the right mind, ever was sitting down and drinking a beer and tried to get somebody to get saved. I've seen people try to do that. I remember a police officer in Massenville, Kentucky, that I visited him over and over, tried to get him saved, and I'd go in, he'd be drinking a beer. And he said, I'm not going to hide that from you, preacher. I said, I don't want you to hide it. It's your house. I just want to tell you about Jesus. But I won't tell you what he'd do. He would get a beer. He would be drinking and drinking and drinking and have his Bible open. How? In 2 weeks, he went crazy. And I told him, I said, you can't mix sin and the holiness of the Word of God together. If you do, you will go crazy. Amen. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. But listen to this. I believe he's raising up an army. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God has placed in your children. God has placed greatness in your children. Don't let fear rob you or rob them. You know, it's amazing. I look at my babies, and it's hard for me to imagine them in 20 years. I look at my grandkids, and they're just my little babies. I can't hardly imagine them in 20 years. But I think about it, you know, they're my babies, and I wanna help them. I wanna protect them any way I can. But the greatest thing you can do for your children is to train them up in the ways of the Lord. You see, your children were born for such a time as this. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. What God is doing, I believe he's raising up an army to push back darkness. Be honored that you can be part of it. Let me show you something else. Now I'll be finishing. Genesis chapter 50. I love this. You know the story of Joseph? You know how his brothers treated him? Horrible. They hated him. They were jealous. They wanted to kill him, but they didn't have enough nerve to kill him, so they put him in a well, put blood on the coat, told their daddy that he was killed, but they sold him into slavery. He went to Egypt. That's amazing. So amazing that Joseph went to Egypt and he was mistreated there. He was mistreated, lied on, spent about anywhere from 13 to 20 years in prison. But he never got negative about it. He never blamed God at all. He stayed faithful to the Lord with all that he went through. But I want to show you something. Look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, his brothers, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. Well, they thought they were going to get killed. Listen, Joseph, he had risen to prominence and power. He was right under Pharaoh. He had the power to get even with his brothers, to kill his brothers. But he said, don't worry about it. I'm in the place of God. Amen. It'd be good for every one of us in our soul. We could say, you know, and it'd be true. I'm in the place of God. Don't worry about me getting even with you. Don't worry about me treating you bad. Don't worry about me turning my back on you. Don't worry about that, because I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because I am in the place of God. I kind of like that. But look at verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Whatever, listen, old devil, what he's meant to do to harm you, to hurt you, God can turn it around for your good and his glory. I love that. I love it because people say things all the time about people. Even church people try to get even. I love my mom and dad. They were the best Christians I know. But in their older age, they begin to argue. I go over there, I said, look, I'm your son, but it's not night. Tonight you've got the pastor. But the thing about it, for some reason, mom would say something. And dad, he was just a simple, quiet guy. But she could rile him up. And they would be talking, and I noticed this. Well, one of them would say something to jab the other. And then they would jab them back. Some of you are like that tonight. Amen. Somebody doesn't suit your fancy. You may not do it with a dagger, but you do it with the tongue. You jab them. You jab them. You jab them. You jab them. Listen, I love this. Fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Look at verse 23. And lo, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Merkah, and the son of Manasseh were brought up upon Joseph's knees. But look at this. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you and ye shall carry up my bone from hence. I want you to get this because, you know, God had promised Abraham and he's promised Moses that one day they would be delivered from Egypt. And Joseph had gotten old. He was going to die. He said, you know, I know God is going to keep his promises. He's going, I'm going to be dead. But what I want you to do when God fulfills his promise to you, I want you to dig up my bones and take them with you. Look what he says in verse 26. So Joseph died being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You see the word coffin? You know what it means? It's only found one time in the Bible, coffin. One time. It means hope chest. Hope chest. Amen. Put me in a coffin. Amen. One day, if the Lord tarries, I'll die. I'll be put in a coffin, but I'll be in heaven with a new body. Amen. Amen. That's blessed assurance. That's hope. Amen. Won't you stand with me? I don't know what you need to do tonight. I wish every parent in this church could hear this message. Every grandparent. We've got, with children that are so special, we have responsibilities. And it's easy to neglect your responsibilities, to put them aside. Because in our nature, we're selfish. It's easy to put people to the side and do our own thing. But the great thing about it, there is forgiveness in Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd be like me. You'd say, you know, I wasn't the best parent when I was young. But now I have grandchildren that I can reach out to. I can make a difference in their life. And maybe you're here tonight, you may not have any children at all, but you can make a difference in somebody's life in our church, our children in the church. Because see, the Bible is telling us all to train up our children as a church family in the ways of the Lord. And when they are old, they will not depart. They'll remember it. But our responsibility is to be faithful and to train them up. Two things children need. Number one, they need nurturing. They need to be loved, cared for. Nurture means to make special. We need to make our children feel special. They need that nurturing, that love from mom and dad and the church family. But they also need admonition. Admonition is correction, discipline. And I believe we're in a condition that we are as citizens of the United States of America and Christians, because people aren't nurturing their kids and they're not disciplining their children the way they should. And just, Lord, things are in such a mess. But Lord, we pray that you would just take the mess. Help us, Lord, to give you the mess. And that you would take that mess and you would rearrange it and you would make a message out of our mess. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory because, Lord, if you don't do it, it will never be done. we'll just go on and do what we're doing every day. So, Lord, we pray that you would intervene, that you would touch and save souls and change lives. Lord, that you would really show us your will and your way. Help us to accept the Bible as the authority of God over our life. Help us, Lord, not to justify sin. Help us to run from it. Help us to really mean what we say. If we're Christians, help us to live a Christian life, to be Christ-like. If we're not, help us to just get on the devil's side. Just put us over there, God. Help us not to be mixed up and messed up in life. Help us to make a choice to live for you and mean that choice. Help us to choose Christ with all of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? You come. You need to pray for your children, your grandchildren. You come on. You know, the great thing about it, your children never get too old to be prayed for. Make a commitment to the Lord tonight that you're going to do your best to train up your children in the ways of the Lord. Do it tonight. What is your message?